Hello and welcome to Worst Collection Ever, the Correspondence Edition.
Yes, this is
Oh man.
This is a little bit different. We'll do a little bit of a chatting. We'll do this every so often, kind of, you know, because we
collect some of our correspondence together.
Well, here's the thing: is like we do a lot of when we do our podcast, we do pretty long podcasts.
Yeah,
and it's easy. I think it'd be easier for us to just have our stuff. You know, maybe it's kind of separate a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so why not? So I think we'll make, so, you know, we'll read some correspondence and we'll make, kind of keep it as a, kind of keep it to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, so as we get the correspondence, we'll read through them and, you know, we'll do that every so often.
Yeah.
So, so here we go. I don't know.
I don't know
what we're going to do.
How do we start? Do you want me to start?
Let me read an email.
Okay.
Here. Did we get any other? Here, let me see. I am not very prepared.
Well, I've got Twitter up. Why don't I do that?
Yeah, do Twitter.
So from our buddy Nick or Lane at 360, and he had actually sent me a message a little bit ago and I forgot to talk about it on the show. He asked if we had any interest in D&D. I have never personally played Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know about you.
No.
Sean, yeah, I have
I've only played Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, my Dungeons & Dragons experience is as follows. So I was goth, as we know, and I was goth in college, and I was a freshman in college, and the only other goth kids on campus were huge D&D fans. Well, they invited me over to play. I don't know how to play. So I just sat in a corner wearing a cape, because that's what you do when you're in college. And then I left, and then I never saw them again, and that was my attempt at having friends and playing D&D. So that's that. But then let's see. He also tweeted at us to, you know, we had discussed Powerless on the show last week.
We discussed it?
No, we discussed it.
Yeah.
And so he had asked if we had watched any of the Marvel Netflix shows. And yes, we absolutely have. We watched them all. I really did like them. But like I said on Twitter, I felt they were like two episodes too long. They could have been condensed down. And I think that goes for all of them.
Yeah.
That they kind of drag in the middle and they were really just trying to get to a certain number of episodes instead of really weren't wondering about how the stories they were telling could be told. And you don't have to do a traditional 13 episode.
No, you don't.
Series on Netflix. You can make it eight.
You can make it eight or make it six.
You can make it seven. Why not? It doesn't matter. So I think that there was a lot of stuff that could have been cut.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, definitely. Daredevil, too, especially in the second season.
I thought, well, obviously Jessica Jones, too.
Jessica Jones. They all did. They all dragged there in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're still kind of getting used to this format. And, you know, maybe they'll start working on to make it correct and make those episodes more engaging.
Yeah.
But make some of all the episodes engaging. But
well, actually, because I was listening to the Gilmore Guys, you know, when they were doing their podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were talking about, you know, these shows. And Demi, one of the guys, he said the Netflix shows are the best example of why network time limits exist.
Yeah.
Because you've got commercials and you have all this stuff, but then at the same time, it keeps you to a certain, you're telling stories, you've got certain beats.
Yeah.
So then when you don't have it, you kind of go a little wandery.
Yeah.
And you put way too much stuff in. So, and I would agree with that. I think that they're great shows. I really liked Luke Cage. I really liked Jessica Jones. I liked Daredevil. I thought the second season was a little meh, but, I'm excited to see the rest of them, including Iron Fist.
Yeah.
When that one comes out. And I'm really just hoping that they pick up the pace and they fix that problem that they seem to be having.
I don't know what I want to say, but yeah, but it definitely makes a good point.
Yeah.
That it takes a longer time. It takes too long of a time to tell the stories they want to tell. And I just feel like you know, especially for something like Daredevil, because they, like, I don't know, just drawing out stuff with Foggy and Karen, I'm just like, I don't care mm-hmm. about those characters. I really don't like those characters. But I feel like they're way more integral. They make them seem like they're more integral to the Daredevil mythos than maybe they really are. And I'm not an avid Daredevil reader, so I could be very off on this point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily, you know, doesn't interest me. And it just feels like they, when they do these shows, that they just pad them out with, you know, miscellany that comes in the form of these characters. And
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, there's a little bit that could be fixed. But I still like it a lot. I'm going to keep watching them.
Yeah, definitely.
But then we have another tweet from somebody named, it's at Mart Gray, who is a sub-editor, reviewer, blogs on comics at Too Dangerous for a Girl. And he does a bit of theater, and he lives in...
Too Dangerous for a Girl.
That's what it says.
Does that... Oh, you know what? I think I know who this is now.
Oh, indeed.
Because
he was tweeting at me because we were talking about Lisa Stansfield.
Yeah.
At one point, and how everybody thought I was related to her, and I was like, "Oh, it's Lisa Stansfield." And he's like, "No, I promise, it's Lisa Stansfield." So thank you for correcting me, because again, we don't do research on this show. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No research.
I have. Tweets.
Oh, tweets.
I got one actually from a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Kea Lundy.
Mm-hmm.
K-E-A-L-U-N-D-E-Y. What does she do? She is into Riot Girl stuff and plays games.
Cool.
So you are a friend of us, as far as I'm concerned. So she says, listening to the podcast, and I realized you were changing the wrong name. It's Andrew Dice Clam. You're and goddamn it, you're right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're much better at this than we are.
You're much better at comedy than I can ever be. So thank Dice you, Clam. Kea Lundy.
Oh, and you know, he would be totally drawn like a little clamshell. Just wearing a jacket.
A jacket with his hair.
Yeah. And you'd have like moss growing out of the top of his shell, like his hair, and then he'd have a cigarette.
Yep.
Oh, man. Andrew Dice Clam.
Andrew Dice Clam. Also, Nick also, Elena sent us a nice picture, which I've seen before.
I know, I like this one.
It's the cartoon of Superman and Wonder Woman, and they're... just standing there, fending, you know, it's like they're kind of drawn like their classic.
Yeah. They're standing together and they're getting shot at. And then she's deflecting bullets with her bracers and he's just, you know.
Using his chest.
And he's like, "Hey, aren't you bulletproof?" And she's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, why do you bother with those braces?" And she's like, "Let me show you." So she stops and then it hits her in the boob and her boob jiggles. And then there's like, just jiggle, jiggle.
Everybody's like, "Hey, hey, hey," you know. And
jiggle,
then,
jiggle, jiggle, jiggle,
and he's
jiggle,
like,
jiggle.
And he's like, "Understood."
Yeah.
So thank you, Nick, for
I enjoy that a lot.
For sharing that with
that
us.
That is true.
The pain of boobs.
Batman Nightcast, a thrilling new podcast from the Fire and Water Podcast Network, hosted by Ryan Daly
and Chris Franklin. Nightcast chronicles the Caped Crusaders' adventures in Batman and Detective Comics after Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Highlights from this legendary era include
Batman number 400,
Legends,
Mike Barr and Alan Davis,
Batman Year 1,
Batman Year 2,
Max Allen Collins, the new Jason Todd, Millennium?
You're not doing this right, let me take over. Alan Grant and Norm Breyfogle!
Alan Grant from Jurassic Park?
Did you hear me say Norm freaking Breyfogle?
Oh yeah!
Son of the Demon!
The Killing Joke!
A Death in the Family!
Batman Year 3!
A Lonely Place of Dying!
Alan Grant, Alan Davis, Max Allen Collins. Why are there so many people named Alan from this era of Batman?
The Rise of Tim Drake.
Legends of the Dark Knight.
And that's just up until 1989.
Did anything exciting happen with Batman after that?
You'll have to tune in to find out.
Batman Nightcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Find it on iTunes and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Oh, we forgot to mention your favorite issue, when Batman fires Dick Grayson.
You want to find another co-host?
Okay, so I guess we have some emails.
Cool.
Got a few emails from our buddy Russell Bragg, who...
from the DC Comics Presents show.
DC Comics Presents show, Russell Bragg, the mighty Russell Bragg. Who, by the way, I listened to an episode of Back to the Bins, which is another podcast that that talks about random comics like we do. And Russell is a very big supporter of that show, too. And he sends in a lot of emails to that show, too.
Which is fantastic.
Which is awesome. And I love the involved community. I love that you do that, Russell. But he just sent us a few emails. This is in reference... First one's a reference to the What If Black Goliath episode we did 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
A few weeks ago. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of stuff here. I don't know if I'm going to read all of this. It's kind of long. But he does.
Wait, go back down.
What?
Go back down.
That's the end
of
the email.
No, go back up where it says onto the comic.
Well, I just want to address real quick. So he does. He does give us
a song,
a blues song, the worst collection ever, blues.
Yes, it goes on my album because he says
if Jen's gonna do an album, you know, this song ought to go on here. I'm not gonna sing it. I'm not a blues fan, to be honest.
But it's a good song. It's my, and hopefully Sean will play a harmonica as suggested. But
I could play trombone.
It's basically, my hubby and I have a comic da na 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 like that. I'm guessing.
It actually reminds me that of the movie that we were just talking about today, in Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh yeah.
Where there's a scene where they run into the Elizabeth Shue and the kids, wherever, they run into a blues club,
mm-hmm.
and they have to, like, in order to leave, they have to sing the blues. And so they sing the blues. And
oh my.
If that were us, I'd have to sing this.
Yes. So thank you for the song. We appreciate it. I'm gonna perfect it and get it on my album.
Yeah, maybe
we'll get a writing credit.
Maybe as a special bit.
And any royalties.
Maybe as a special bit, maybe Jen will sing it.
One day.
Jen will sing it, and then we'll put it out.
I'll have Sean produce it for me.
Yeah, I'll put it on. I'm not singing it. I've only sang publicly maybe once or twice.
What, like not even in choir?
Yeah, I never did choir.
Oh my God, I was in choir all the time.
Yeah, there was forced choir.
Oh no!
When you were in a kid, when you were like in grade school.
Oh sure, yeah.
You know that's what I call it, forced choir.
Well, no, I was in choir because I wasn't in band because my mom didn't want me to play any. She didn't want me to play the trombone.
Yeah, I played trombone from like fourth grade till when I was a senior.
Yeah, no, my mom was like, no, that's an ugly instrument. You don't get to play it. So there goes my musical dreams. And I would sing in choir, and when I was younger, I could get high notes or whatever, and then I got older and I got bigger and my voice got lower, and now the only people I can sing along to are like Cher and like Daughtry I do really well with, but like other than that, I'm pretty fucked.
Daughtry would be very impressed.
I'm awesome with Daughtry songs, but I can't really sing anything else because my range is very low. Not that's a surprise.
I cannot sing at all. I can't. I've only sang, I sang karaoke once. I sang Copacabana. And then I also once sang Cheap Trick's Surrender. But, you know, not with any actual, like, talent.
Yeah.
So.
If I ever do karaoke, I really want to do karaoke somewhere where I can sing a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song called Heavy Boobs, because I feel that is my theme song and I really want to sing it, but I don't think it's really in a lot of karaoke libraries.
It's in no karaoke libraries.
Yeah, so until we get there, unless there's like a TV / movie / Broadway song karaoke bar somewhere, I have no chance.
So let me go. Let's go through here. Russell has comments on the comic here. He says, now on to the comic. I truly enjoyed it. I remember What If number 37 very well. It's been ages since I've read it, but it was a good one. Damn right. I did have the comic from the stands. But once the powers that be put them all in trade paperback, I bought the trade and sold the comic.
Smart.
Yep. Also, I didn't realize they put all those in there?
I don't know. Apparently they didn't. Apparently, very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
What If Classic Volume Number 6?
Oh, shit.
See, they've got all sorts of volumes.
Can I get that on Comicology? I will probably look that up.
You should totally look.
Yeah, all right. I didn't know that did that many volumes.
How much space would we save?
Well, us, we only have like maybe two What If comics from there.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
In general, if we could get all of our shit digitized,
yeah,
we would have so much more space.
I love What If comics, and as stated last email, I think the cover of was what convinced me to get it. According to the Marvel Wiki, if each What If story has its own Earth, that's kind of weird. The Thing story was on Earth 8321, and well, the Beast story is on Earth 8320.
Okay.
Why couldn't they be on Earth WI, like all the Brave and the Bold stories were supposed to be on Earth B?
See, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
No, see? Knowledge.
Anyway, I hope Ben and Alicia and Giant Man don't find out about this Earth. I think they'd be very upset. Ben was cured. Alicia can see. Giant Man cured himself and joined the Fantastic Four. Yeah, they did pretty good for themselves there.
They really, really did.
He did find, and Giant Man did find Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He did. That's right. He found a Jamba Juice. So, man, he's probably like a billionaire right now.
Yeah, he would be so rich, and he's not dying from radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
All because really enjoyed your coverage. Well, yeah, all because Thing was cured in our reality. Wait, so our reality is Earth 8320?
I don't know exactly how it works in Marvel. I know that in DC, Earth 1 is where all of the standard Batman stories happen. Earth 2 is where the Golden Age lives. Earth Prime
is our
Earth. That's where we are.
Earth Prime.
I don't know how it works in Marvel.
Yeah, it works kind of weird. Weird in some ways. Yeah. And I'm assuming it works the same, but I don't read current comics because all this shit is all part. I don't care about the Ultimate Universe or any of that stuff. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Really enjoy your coverage. I don't think I've mentioned it, but I truly enjoy all the wrestling references. Yay. I miss the product from my childhood. It's not that I don't watch it today. I missed Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Jake the Snake, DDT, and covering his opponent with a giant snake. I still have my DVDs, and I can watch anything I want on the WWE Network, as you should.
Yes. That constantly playing here?
Yeah.
So much WWE Network.
I guess I don't like change very much. I wish it could be like it used to be.
Hey, man, I wish grunge was still a thing.
I know. I wish it was still the 90s.
I do, too.
I'll be honest.
How much would I love it to be grunge again? Do you know how I would love to walk around in a fucking pair of a flannel and some goddamn Doc Martens?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that look back.
Yeah, do it.
I did that before I went goth. It was a lot of fun.
I guess I've rambled on long enough. Before I close, I did have a few more episode ideas. I always love when you bring both Superman and Batman down a peg. taking them down. Maybe you could do a World's Finest comic.
That's the point of this podcast.
We haven't done a World's Finest comic in a while, I feel like.
And didn't I bought some today?
Oh, we have plenty.
I buy them all the time. I have so many.
I can't think so many.
I don't know if we have number 83 though.
No, that's DC Comics presents 83.
I can only. I'm far away.
Yeah.
Superman,
Batman, and the Outsiders, which eventually,
we'll get to it. But yeah, I've got a ton of World's Finest. We can definitely work that in.
Yeah, I also love Superboy, the real Superboy, the one who grew up to be Superman. Oh, yeah,
I've got tons of those.
And we have a lot of the New Adventures of Superboy, the second, series.
Yeah.
Which, we've done a few times on the show as well.
I have a lot of those.
And we can always go back to those. I think with Superman comics and Batman comics is that I love doing them.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like we're kind of, it's just so easy for us to do them.
Well, yeah, the idea is to go through all of the collection and give a kind of a sample of all the crazy things that we have.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of where we're headed with that.
As much as I would love to do nothing but World's Finest every week or Batman every week or something, I don't think that truly represents the amount of crap that we have. But we will do them again.
Yeah.
And I've got a great Jimmy Olsen that I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll get to. Yeah, we'll get to some crazy stuff. I think we kind of, try to space it out because it's easy for us to just be like, let's do a comic. What do you want to do? Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, and I don't want people to be like, oh god, they're going to talk about Jimmy Olsen again. They're going to talk about Batman again.
We could talk about Lois Lane. I mean, we could do that all day.
I've got a bunch of Lois Lane.
But you gotta deal with us talking about Cable, or
Cable?
Gunfire or whatever it is.
Fucking Gunfire, man.
Yeah. Maybe you could bring in a romance comic. Hey, hope you like this episode this week.
Oh, yeah, because we just did.
Whatever you choose is that. Whatever you choose is fine by me. Keep up the fine work, Russell Bragg from Clarksburg, West Virginia.
Oh man,
host of the DC Comics Presents show. Thank you, Russell.
It's beautiful in West Virginia.
Let me break this up actually for a second here, because I just realized that the guy that commented here is the same. I think it's the same cat.
Oh, that's him. Yep, that's him.
Yeah, this cat, Martin Gray.
Yep.
Who commented on?
Who tweeted at us?
He tweeted at us, and I also posted my new episode on Back Issue Magazine on Facebook.
Oh.
Which
a group?
It's a group. I'm in a few groups.
Oh well, I mean, like it's just a group about comics, or it's a group about what?
The comic books.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, which I think I've probably added you to, did I not?
You added me to like a 1980 group.
Yeah, I think I added you to this one too.
Okay, maybe I just didn't see it yet.
Because it's a lot of fun. It's people just talk about back issues, and it's kind of basically the same kind of, you know, vibe that we do.
Neat.
But Martin commented on our Justice League Task Force issue episode, and he says, Gypsy was not so useless in Detroit Justice League. She was likable and spunky and good with her developing powers.
Hmm.
I agree. I will agree with that. Okay.
I have not read any, so I cannot
Let's put it this way. She's not anywhere nearly as intrusive and frustrating to in their existence as Vibe was during those years.
Yeah.
I'm glad he is not. I would feel really bad if he was trying to defend Vibe.
Well, here's the thing. In fairness, the book that we read, literally the only thing Gypsy did was cry and sit in a bathroom.
She did a lot of it. Let's put it this way. In Justice League Task Force, she does a lot of that.
Just saying.
But I mean, she does. And I did respond to Martin here. And I did mention that I did like the mother, but the fatherly, you know, the relationship they had. It's a very, very good relationship. You know, it's a very mentor.
Mentee.
Mentee. It's mentee.
No, mentor mentee.
Mentee.
Menti.
Menchies.
Menchies. I'd love some Menchies.
And he goes, I found those final issues by JMD Mateus powerful and poignant, and that Elrond Despero should figure out makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Sure, it does. Yeah.
I completely agree. I mean, I have to make fun of her, though.
Oh, well, yes. So I mean, that's what we do here.
And the JMD, he's right about those episodes, because they get dark.
Yeah.
Because that's when we're like, you know, Vibe dies. Steel dies. Like, Steel gets fucked up.
Yeah.
What's her face? Gypsy, like, has to kind of, like, fake her death and convinces his android not to kill her. It's really, actually, it's not difficult. I mean, I could read it, but it's hard.
A lot of shit.
It's harsh. There's some harsh stuff going on in there, and the end of the GLA Detroit area. That's they just decimate that team,
yeah.
So they can just get on with bringing on the new Justice League, that kind of thing. Mm. So, he also says Batman's mechanic Harold came back on All-Star Batman recently.
That was the thing we referenced him a lot actually. The blind man who I believe is also a hunchback who lived in the Batcave for a time and fixed Batman's car.
Yeah.
Who was being held hostage by Bruce Wayne and not being paid.
He's not being held hostage. He just is like, hey, you want to live?
I know, but it's funnier if we say that he's being held hostage. And his name was Harold.
Harold.
We forgot his name.
And I said, Harold, yes, letting a dude live in his Batcave is a plot not adequately explored. Yeah, no, totally. We should, yeah. Well,
that's like letting somebody live above your garage.
That need
or like living in the, like crashing on your couch, like in the den or whatever.
That needs to be a plot somehow in Gotham or something. Like he needs to go to school with Bruce or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love JLA Task Force idea of gathering team members according to the mission. I wish DC would try something again with a clever writer such as Al Ewing. Yeah, no, agreed.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Secret Defenders.
Yeah.
Secret Defenders would just be like Doctor Strange being like, all right, I need like this dude.
I need six dudes.
You know, or you know, later issues, Dr. Druid, which we'll have to do with Secret Defenders coming up soon because those are weird.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah, so thank you, Martin. I didn't realize it was the same cat that tweeted at you, but thank you, Martin, for checking out. And check out what's his blog is 2... I'm sorry, could you I have to remember.
I gotta pull this up. It's
Too Dangerous for a Girl.
Something.
That's a Supergirl blog, I think, right?
You know, let me click. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going.
We should do that. Because I've heard him referenced on the Fire and Water podcast.
Too Dangerous
family of networks.
For a Girl.
Family of podcasts. Which I like. I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm kind of like a mark for those shows.
Oh, I know.
And I kind of like, it's one of those things where I'm in high school and I'm like, hey, notice me.
You're funny.
Do something funny. We just swear a lot. Do you like us?
That's what we do.
We're not going to change.
It's so Too Dangerous for a Girl is dangermart.blogspot.com.
What's it about, though?
I'm getting there.
It's about comics.
Yeah, it's just got a lot of like cool comic reviews on here, which is awesome. There's some Superwoman. There's some Titans. This looks really cool. I haven't had a chance to read it, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, so check out Martin's work there.
Yeah, totally.
So let's get to our last email here. Let's talk here. We got another email from one Russell Bragg, referring to Gunfire.
Oh, that's right.
From our episode last week, he says.
Gunfire and his awesome ponytail.
So I want to talk about here. I'm just looking through this email here. Okay. So he does give us, so Russell very generously gives us some background about,
oh yes. Cause we talked about Powerless.
Powerless. And he kind of,
and we talked about how there was a cousin, Alan Tudyk plays a character
Van Wayne. Yeah.
And we were saying that apparently there's a guy from the 60s who it was a Wayne cousin,
but
I didn't remember his full name.
Vanderveer Wayne.
So Vanderveer Wayne appeared in Batman number 148 in 1962. During a visit to his cousin, Van got himself into some trouble when he hired a con artist to impersonate Batman while he posed as Robin. He did all of this with the intention of impressing Dick Grayson, for some reason. But Van was not aware that they were, in fact, the real dynamic duo. Van had to be rescued by Batman and Robin. In the aftermath of the situation, he learned a humility lesson.
Good for him.
Well, good. I only remember the first Jack-O-Lantern, Daniel Cormack. We were also talking about him. He was introduced in the issue number 8 of the Super Friends comic. I got to talk about him a little bit on episode number 46 of the DC Commons Presents show. He had very few appearances before Crisis. After Crisis, when the United Nations decided to fund the Justice League International, the Global Guardians found themselves without financial support and disbanded. Cormack subsequently joined Ruman, how do I say, Havarti's army in Bialya. After Havarti was killed by Queen Bee, Jack-O-Lantern voluntarily joins forces with the villainous in taking over the world. He is left dying in a sewer after a battle with the Justice League.
Sucks ass.
Found alive by his girlfriend Owl Woman in the Justice League Quarterly when the two heroes are found by Dr. Mist. They take a major part in reuniting the Global Guardians and fight with Sonar against the Justice League in Justice League Europe number 49 and 50. Afterwards, Jack dies of natural causes.
So, wait. So, okay, so there's that guy.
So, that's what happened to Jack-O-Lantern. Is he still dead?
But there was another Jack-O-Lantern in Primal Force, and I think that was a different, obviously a different guy.
Did he buy the rights like they did with the porcupine?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he wore a red sweater, and he sold it.
Yes. They were like, you could be the Jack-O-Lantern now. And now you're going to be in Powerless.
So on to the comic.
Gunfire.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like, and by the way, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
If you have any thoughts on any comics we've done in the past and you want to, you know, share them with us, please do, because I like talking about this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Jen does too. So on to the comic. I can't really say much since I've never heard of Gunfire before. Well, goddamn it, Russell.
See, that was the thing. I was wondering who else had actually heard of Gunfire.
You should have. You were around in 1993, I assume.
But you know what? He probably did the smart thing and walked right by that comic. He was like, nah.
He did. Yeah, he was reading good DC comics.
He was reading decent shit. He's like, I'm not going to waste my money on that.
He was doing good.
I'm not wasting my money on Gunfire.
Well.
smart.
Good job, Russell. I guess it would be be a cool power to have, making things explode with just a touch.
Yeah.
Did you say Gunfire was arrested at the end of the story?
No, he wasn't arrested. Well, I mean, not technically.
I don't know what happens. I don't know if he ends up in the police station at the end of the story.
Because he did go to the police station.
Or the next issue.
Yeah, he did go to the police station once to tell
he makes buddies.
His story. Then they let him go. But then at the very end, he does walk out arm in arm with the cop.
He goes in as a civilian to the police station.
Yes.
After they inquire him.
Yes. And him and the cop at the end
become buddies.
Become kind of buddies.
Kind of buddies.
And then they walk out. And I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah. If so, was he arrested at the very end of the issue? Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah. And then he just exploded the cuffs off because he's fucking Gunfire.
Right.
How do you manage to keep that guy down?
Well, if they cuffed him over cloth, then he wouldn't. I don't know how his power worked. Yeah. I thought he had to put skin on it.
Put some skin on.
Yeah, he's got to have some skin in this game.
I have heard that many of the heroes from the Bloodline storyline were flops. What is your opinion? I couldn't say one way or the other since I wasn't into comics during the 90s. Okay, well that was
hey, fair enough.
I will have to give you my comics origin, but seeing how long this email is, I'd better wait. Maybe next time.
Oh man, people have origin stories. Oh, that's exciting.
I got an origin story. I started out as a boy.
I was born, and then I got very big, and I lived in a crib.
And
like Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan did. And then I got my mom got her face exploded by a duck beak.
By duck. It was a really great story.
We're referencing other stuff.
Yep.
Thanks again for another fun episode. Russell Bragg, Clarksburg, Virginia, host of... Jesus Christ! Sam Crow's outside.
Yep.
Host of the DC Comics Presents show. Bloodlines.
I don't know what the hell happened with Bloodlines.
Well, here's the thing.
I realized they were trying to do something cool and edgy, but man...
When I got into comics in, like... late 93, 1994.
Uh-huh.
This Bloodlines, you know, DC Comics and Bloodlines, you know, Bloodlines was the rage.
Yeah.
At the time. I mean, well, it was what they were pushing.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when I would go into comic book stores and if I was looking through stuff and, you know, kind of like how, you know, when you go into comic book stores and you look through box, you know, bins and you find a lot of New 52 shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is basically like what I was finding. I'd find a bunch of, you know, stuff from, you know, Bloodlines, you know, all these annuals and stuff because they ran through this. And I don't know. For as far as I'm concerned, I had no problem with it, you know, because it was something new to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's stupid.
Yeah.
But it was something that they were trying to push at the time because being a part of the 90s, you know, action scene.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't bother me. I liked, first of all, I know like everybody that anytime you refer to Bloodlines, everybody is like, well, Hitman came from Bloodlines.
Mm.
Hitman, which he came from. It was created by Garth Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he debuted in Demon Annual number 3?
Okay.
Or 2? I have it. He had his own series and it went on to, you know, be around for a while.
Yeah.
So he was pretty popular. I never read anything from Bloodline, from Hitman.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
However, I am a fan of some of the other ones. I think Gunfire's, you know, fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I'm not a huge. I mean, I never really read any of the Bloodlines, and what I've read here, I'm not hugely impressed with. I can't say that I've read Hitman, but I love Garth Ennis. I read the whole Preacher run was.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I have loved it for years. So, I mean, I could see where I would probably enjoy it.
Yeah, the Hitman was probably a bigger hit because of Garth Ennis's you know approach to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was a big fan. I mean, I don't know. We've read Anima on the show.
Yes.
I don't know.
It was fine.
What the hell's going on in Anima? It's confusing. I mean, Conan O'Brien was in that one.
Oh, that's right.
That was dumb. yeah. I mean, shit. I mean, that's
just it's a weird.
It's a weird book.
It was a weird thing.
It was a weird book. And her powers and her actual, like, moveset and whatever. Moveset, like, she's a wrestler. But, like, her actual, you know, existence doesn't make a lot of sense. But, yeah, you know, whatever.
Well, who knows? Maybe somebody will bring him back in, like, 10 years.
Well, you can't bring back Gunfire because his arms got chopped off.
Well, you could
Anima's head got chopped off.
You could retcon all these people just because, you know.
You can retcon anybody. You can find Anima's head and put it back on her head.
Exactly. Well, I mean, just like, this is the new Anima.
Anima. There's a few others, too, I had. I had the one with the Legion of Superheroes. The one with Jam, who is the fat surfer dude from the 30th century. I don't even know what his power was. I think he was just gnarly.
Is it okay if I don't like the Legion?
It's fine.
Like, to the point where I don't even, like, I came across Superboy and the Legion a lot.
Yeah.
And I won't buy it. Because I really don't like the Legion.
I have to be in the right kind of mood for the Legion. I sometimes I find some Legion book. I almost bought like one or two of them today, and I was, or, you know, when we were at the comic book shop, and I put it back just because I had other stuff I had to focus on. But what was another guy? Blood, like Hook.
Hook.
Yeah, there was Hook.
What did he have, a hook for a hand?
Yes.
Did he leave it on people's car doors when they were making out on Lover's Lane?
No.
That wasn't him?
No.
Man, what a shame.
Not the same guy. I don't know what his power was. He just had a hook.
He was just trying to kill young lovers.
He was in the Green Arrow annual.
He had a hook hand.
Oh, there was also the religious one. There was like the evil priest that became, or something. The thing was
Priesty.
Cardinal asshole or something.
I like Priesty.
He was in the Batman Shadow of the Bat one. Mm. And he, I don't know, the frick, that was a dumb one.
His name is Priesty.
Priesty. Sure. Then there was, I'm trying to think of the other ones I read. There was Eclipso. Eclipso had a fucking annual.
Wait, did he come out of Bloodlines?
No.
No, Eclipso's a lot older.
Eclipso was an Eclipso series.
Oh, yeah, I know that, but I mean, like, he wasn't a character created for Bloodlines, though.
No, Eclipso's been around for years.
Yeah, no, we're just talking about characters that were created.
I know, but he had an annual.
Yeah.
Where he introduced Prism.
Oh, so was that like his sidekick?
No, that was the guy. Because the way Bloodlines happened was every annual, these monsters from space would find
a hero.
They would find somebody.
Okay.
To suck their spinal fluid out of their neck because they're like xenomorphs and they had like spiky tongues that sucked. That's how they.
I really thought you were gonna say straws.
Kind of like straws.
And yeah. I was picturing like those really cute ones that have like they're red and white and they have like a stripe.
Yeah.
And you can like buy them.
They use swirly straws to suck the blood.
That you put in like mason fluid. Jars when you're having people over for brunch.
That was hipster Bloodlines.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. They had a Nintendo Switch on the roof. It was great.
And everybody was wearing, you know, very skinny pants.
And there was a guy wearing flip flops and a deep V.
Yeah. No beard.
No pants.
that guy got arrested.
That guy got arrested, and they threw and took.
That's what happened to Gunfire at the end of the last issue.
And they put the Switch, Nintendo Switch in for evidence.
And everybody cried. They're like, oh wait, the graphics suck on this thing anyway.
And it ruined the hipster party. Anyways, so these aliens would come down, and I don't know what the fuck they were doing in the first place because there was like, you know, like a. Like an end in the beginning issue, they would kill a bunch of people, but certain people that they killed would come back to life with superpowers.
I get it.
Because of it awakens like a gene, the metagene in their body, and makes them have some sort of an ability. So Gunfire got the ability to do what he does.
Yeah.
You know, and then Anima did whatever she did.
And Prism does.
Prism was a shiny guy, and he looked like Martinex from the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I don't really know what he did, but a lot of these characters either just disappeared. They actually had like an ongoing series for like a little bit that I actually kind of like to try to find just for the fuck of it. And then a lot of them were killed in the New Year's Evil storyline by Prometheus or something. Like, you know, as I mentioned, you know, his Gunfire's hands got torn off.
Yeah.
So, I have a few. I'm trying to think if I have any other ones. I have the Avengers of Superman one where it was Loose Cannon. Who was he became like a big purple monster with blonde hair but he was still like a functioning kind of one, you know, and he was a police officer. What was another one I had? Yeah. It's Bloodlines is dumb.
Yeah.
But you know what? Okay. And if, there's a certain point I was like, oh, I should go collect them all. But then I realized I was stupid.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I stopped doing it.
That happens.
So, yeah. So I guess that's it for our correspondence. Yeah. You have anything else you wanted to add?
No. But thank you to everybody who tweeted, emailed, commented on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to reach us again, that address is worstcollectionever@gmail.com. You know, please go ahead and send us stuff
and tweet at us on Twitter.
Yeah,
@angryheroshawn, SHAWN. That's also my Instagram. I post a lot of fun stuff on there.
And I'm @JenStansfield on Twitter and Instagram. JenStansfield.tumblr.com and JenStansfield.wordpress.com.
Okay, thanks for joining us for this shorter-ish edition of our emails and correspondence. And we'll do this again some other time. Coming up when we get a bunch more, and we'll chat about you guys talking to us. And thank you for engaging with us. And please leave reviews. Maybe next time we'll read all of our reviews, iTunes reviews.
Yeah,
we can go through those. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Sure.
So because we do have a few of those. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.